Now, I know you mentioned from the divine within. How do I integrate that into a divine?
Divinity
within?
Is transcendental. It's the classic religious view of it, see, as an out-there-ness. However, the statement that it's out-there-ness is because people didn't understand the in-here-ness of the avatar, see, the teacher. Heaven is within you, said Jesus Christ. The Buddha said, self-realization, you know, all the enlightened masters state that God is immanent as well as transcendent. Well, you realize that God can't be just transcendent, you know, as though God's everywhere, except right around your head, he stops there. I mean, you know what I mean? Your head is also an infinite space. Your head is not outside of infinite space. So the omniscience, omnipresence of divinity obviously includes yourself, you see? Otherwise, it'd be like Swiss cheese with people living in the holes, and God is everywhere except where you are,
right.
You know, obviously.
Right.
Transcendent is also immanent, see? So immanent versus transcendent is just an intellectual positionality, a mode of description, because that which is transcendent is obviously immanent. And if what is immanent is divinity, divinity has no limits or parameters, so it's obviously also transcendent. So those are just different descriptive nominalizations. God is, you know, neither one, because that which is nonlinear is beyond limitation. The presence of God within, then, is experienced first as consciousness itself, the subjectivity of the sense of the experience of I is the beginning of the awareness of divinity. Because how do you know you are? You only know you are because of the quality of consciousness as awareness. The entity in innate and in of itself does not know that it is. You know that? It's interesting. You can calibrate it and see it's true. Entities below 200 experience, but they don't experience their own existence. They don't experience that they are. Therefore, you can't trust people to be below 200 because your value, they don't value you because they don't experience their own existence. They experience experience, but they do not comprehend their own existence. Over 200, we say, oh, I don't want to do that because how it might affect the neighborhood, or, you know, I'm going to play my music at midnight on the lawn. How is that going to affect the neighbors? Below 200, they couldn't care less how it affects the other neighbors because there is no awareness that they are existent, valuable by virtue of their existence. So under 200, people do not value others. They do not value others at all, except for what they can exploit them, use them for comfort, for sex, for vanity, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's only over 200 that other people will now have a value because you experience that you are. Therefore, you project that into others, and their life becomes equally valuable to yours now. So now you're constrained by concern for others. Below 200, you're not constrained by it. You're only constrained by consequences. But you're not really valuing their life. You don't really realize that they experience their own existence. You see? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we're always told that to be of service to others brings good to the world. Many of us may go to service from the place of, I really should, obligation.
Oh, yes.
Does that serve, does that have a frequency, a high frequency in and of itself, even if it comes from a place of should or ought to, as opposed to a heartfelt want?
Well, even should or ought to is the beginning of a sense of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the whole way, but it certainly is on the way that there is a moral obligation of one human being to another. By virtue, you know, of equality, intrinsic equality. In the beginning, it may feel like a must or should or ought to. As consciousness evolves, it becomes a want to. Eventually, it becomes a great pleasure to serve others.
Uh-huh.
Somebody was telling me about his car broke down in Chicago, and everybody came out of the place they were in, pushed his car out of the snowbank, and went back. I think it was a tavern or something. Unasked, they all came out and helped him out, pushed his car out of the snow, and all went back in. They all just did it for the joy of doing it.
Okay.
I was explaining how the Chicago Transit Company was a rock band, played at the Fillmore East many years ago. And the night of the concert, everybody's sitting there waiting for the concert to start, and the word came that their bus had broken down a block and a half away from the Fillmore East. Everybody in the theater left the Fillmore East, pushed the bus, The band came out on stage and the whole thing started. Maybe 20 minutes late, but it started just like nothing had happened. Oh. Unasked, the whole bunch just went out and pushed the bus there. So that's not obligation or should. That's just the joy of the occasion. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. And sharing human life for the sheer joy of it. But that, you know, that's up to joy and happiness and gratitude for being alive. And
I guess it's that same bent of, you know, it's always me, I, me in my small world. My ego world is taking over. And then trying to get a little bit broader in our vision towards, let's go beyond the me and the I and my little small self and my small world and try and look at the bigger world.
Well, that's still sort of an intellectual position. What happens as you get higher and higher is you are everyone. There's not that sharp differentiation between a me and a you. You're part of the ambiance of the context. You begin to feel that with pets, for instance. Mm-hmm. Whether a pet's in or out of the room changes the ambiance of the room. It's not so much me, me, and you, you, pet. Mm-hmm. It's more that a certain presence now changes the ambiance of the whole room. Just like in this studio that we're in now, a certain quaintness appears sporadically around the place. Craftsmanship and quaint little strange and the funny little names over outbuildings and all. Mm-hmm. That adds a whole different quality of quaintness and lovability to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The energy.
We were looking at buildings when we left the town we just came from. And it's all cement slabs. Nothing quaint, nothing heartwarming, no warmth, no artistry to it. Just big squares and oblongs of cement. Dead cement. No life to it. When you compare it with the city square in Brussels, which is just bristling, incredible art, craftsmanship, mm-hmm. creativity, upliftment, see? Mm-hmm. It's very sterile looking, you know, like a modern business office. Completely sterile looking. If you calibrate it, it's like just at 200, you know. Functional, and that's it.
Yeah.